Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm picturing your old apartment just having a puppet sitting in the middle.
Listen,
of an empty.
You're 100% right. If we were to take a picture of the living room in that old apartment, it's just Chad on a stand sitting on a desk. That's all that's in that room, which is great because it's an automatic theft deterrent. Because if you break into that and that's what you see, it's like, I don't think this is for us. That's cursed.
Yeah, this place
that's
seems,
a cursed
this
object.
Place seems cursed.
Yeah.
You know when you meet someone and you just instantly click? You just feel like you've known them your whole life, or maybe from a past life. You know, like you were brothers or best friends or lovers. Well, that's how I feel about Josh Sigorin. You know, I could see us being philosophers in ancient Greece who drank too much wine at a Bacchus festival and made fun of Aristotle's weird haircut. Or I could see us as like Viking sisters who crossed the ocean in a longboat and braided each other's hair into really cool patterns. Ooh, or maybe we were in Vietnam together and I got shot in the butt as I carried a mortally wounded Josh out of the jungle and yelled, "Something bit me!" and then opened a chain of popular shrimp restaurants after Josh died. See, that's the kind of instant connection that Josh and I had. If you don't know Josh, you may know his alter ego, Chad the Bird, from his viral TikTok rants or his podcast, Chad the Birdcast. Josh and I hopped on the mic, and we mostly just shot the shit. There's a lot of stories packed into this one, so enjoy. I'm Will. Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away. McFadden. And this is Hashtag Storytime, brought to you by iHeartRadio.
I recently had a Spectrum sent me a new modem and router.
Oh, fun.
And my girlfriend was like, oh, we have some friends coming over tonight to watch the rehearsal. The Nathan Fielder show.
And yeah, I was
like,
such great. A fun oh, thing crap. For friends to sit around and watch.
Yeah, really get like, go into the, you know, the MC Escher painting that is that TV show.
Yeah, guys, everybody want to come over and watch Mayor of Easttown with me? It's going to be a groovy good time. It was the worst. Like I was on hold and then it was the automated guy, and I was immediately like ready to punch a wall as soon as the automated guy came on, because it was just like, he was like, hello, hi, thank you for calling Google Home.
You're like, operator.
You're like, fuck you, bud.
Operator.
Mm-mm.
Operator.
You're just mashing zero with your hands. Zero, yeah. And then you get really angry and you hold zero until someone goes, well, we'll find you someone. You're like, yes, yes, you will. And also bring me a Coke.
Thank you, robot. respecting my...
I hate when it does the little clackety sound. Like, it's like, hey, let me look that up for you. And it's like... And you're like, stop it. Stop it.
Don't condescend to me and pretend like you're working.
You can't feel. You don't know feelings. You don't know what I'm going through right now.
You don't have digits, you don't have fingers that you're typing away on some keyboard.
And I love how it's just like trying to find the most, like it thinks this is what a pleasant human voice sounds like. And you're like, this sounds like you're talking to a serial killer or an abusive boyfriend. He's just like, hi, I can see you're frustrated.
Yeah.
You're like,
sure. let me do something about that.
Let me loosen the restraints and we can talk about whether or not you really want to set up your nest.
You sound hungry.
Wow, Google's getting real creepy. Getting? It's horrible. But yeah, that was this afternoon, and I'm glad that all worked out. Because there was going to be a horrible email from me being like, hi, how enraged do you want me for this?
And I'd be like, how are you emailing me right now without your internet, sir?
I don't even know. This is working. This isn't working. Oh, man. The Nest thing, holy crap. Because you pop it off, and then you put all the wires in, and then you immediately have to know something about wiring a thermostat, where I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Hang on, guy.
What am I, an electrician?
Did I pay for? Yeah.
Above my pay grade.
I paid for an Apple product or a Google product. You're supposed to do that stuff for me because I'm stupid.
Yeah. So I take this thing out of the box, throw it at the wall.
That's it.
Yeah.
But they're like, now you got to check the wires. You want to check sure your Y wires are going in? I'm like, slow down, Harvard.
Whoa.
Okay. I went to art school. Can you sing it to me?
These wires have genders? What are you talking about?
What does the wire identify as? I don't want to, I'm not going to put a label on this. It's ridiculous.
Like, put the male end and the female.
Hold on. What's up, 1987?
Yeah, Jesus.
Chill out, dad. But yeah, I did all that, plugged a thing in, and then it was like, because then it does that thing where it's like, oh yeah, we're going to talk to each other. So it's like, all right, so put your phone up to it and it'll have a little robot conversation, which I'm sure is just the NSA. And I'm like, okay, fine, great. I don't care. I don't do enough for me to care. So I did that. Yeah. And then it was like, you need to change your batteries. And I was like, all right. So then I unplugged the thing and I changed the batteries. And it was like, oh, we can't find it anymore. Sorry. So I was like, oh, so we're done? That was it? Okay.
You gave up? Robots just quit?
You're wrong. And oh, yeah. I guess that was on me. So then I had to call the thing, and then they were just like, they send you to one person after the robot, and that one person that's after the robot is like, can I confirm that this is you? And I'm like, can you? I don't know. I don't even know if this is me anymore. And after that journey through the chaos and the void, come back out the other end, and you're like, oh, I am me. Good to know. And I'm
still in the middle of moving.
Yeah,
which is stressful enough.
Time is of the essence here, guys.
Yeah, right.
So after we go through all the verification to make sure, A, you're a human and you are who you say you are, and then you have like six identity crises because you're just like, why did I pick that for a password? Why is this? Why am I doing this? Like, I could be out working on something with my hands, fixing potholes, and then that's over. And then this woman comes on, she's like, oh, okay, can you give me the serial number? And you're like, yeah, here's the serial number. She's like, cool. And it's just like, beep, bop, boop, bop, bop. Oh, there you go. I'm like, so you could have done
all along
the whole time. Yeah. Anyway, works great.
I once put a curse on a woman who worked for DirecTV.
Oh, that was you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I put a curse on her and her family.
Just
I was in the middle of moving. It was very stressful.
Yeah.
There was a shooting outside of my apartment. Oof. And there was a person who died, and I was like, I have to move. Like, somebody just got shot in front of my apartment. I don't feel safe here. I gotta go. And I was like, all right, DirecTV, I'm moving, want to move my service. And they were like, you see, thing is, you've only lived there for 7 months, and you can only move once a year. So it's going to cost $350 to move the service. And I was like, a person was murdered.
Man.
In front of my door.
A crime was committed.
I was like, I am in danger. And you're exploiting this situation.
Nah, sorry. Danger's not covered.
There, I was like, ma'am, there's a sequence of buttons that you can press right now that will make that $350 fee disappear. I need you to hit those buttons.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, just can't do it.
So I was like, so you've been living
supervisor.
Yeah. Yeah. And then supervisor comes on and they're in India and you're just like,
yeah.
So this doesn't matter to you because you're on a different time zone, but someone just died in front of my apartment. Where we are, sir, it's Tuesday. It's no longer Monday. So. I apologize.
But yeah, I got to the point where they just wouldn't do it. And I said, how much to cancel altogether? And they were like, that's going to be $600. And I went, I'll do that. And I will never, ever work with DirecTV again, ever. And no. I curse your family and everyone who works in your direct department. Anybody who shares a cubicle wall, this curse will also... they will get spillover curse.
It's just full on Willem Dafoeing, like bug eyed, saying some really dark stuff, and they're on the other end going, "Okay, well, thank you. Would you be willing to take a survey?"
Yes,
please. How would you rate your experience? I would rate it not satisfactory, with the force of Poseidon's rage.
If you can hear my teeth gritting somehow through this survey.
Yes, sir, I'm getting
a tooth.
I'm getting a lot of feedback. Yeah, that's me trying really hard not to bite my finger off. Because it's my finger.
So this episode is brought to you by DirecTV and Nest.
Nest. Always there. Google Home should take 30 minutes to set up. Anyone can do it. And it's true. Anyone can do it. All you have to do is call... Right. The people that know how to do it, and they'll do it for you.
Anyone with a background in being an electrician.
Yeah. Anyone can do it if you have money to pay someone else to do it.
Or the time to go to school to learn how to.
I took some night classes. Why? Setting up an Alexa. I'm just not nailing it.
Yeah, I got my degree. It's a trade school. I went to University of Phoenix Online. And now I'm good at setting up shit around my living room.
Yeah, specifically Apple products. If you need someone to help you, I know people. I won't do it. I only did it for me because I don't care.
I think this is what TaskRabbit essentially is thriving off of.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be funny if there was like an app you could go to be like, I have a dumb job. It's like, oh yeah, it's TaskRabbit. I used to use TaskRabbit. It was really fun. I mean, I was on TaskRabbit because I'm in the arts, so I have no money. And so I'll come over and move boxes. I don't care.
Sure.
I can lift things.
I got that one friend who's just like, TaskRabbit it. Just everything that comes up, he's like, just TaskRabbit it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you mean like, he's like, yeah, I got a new air conditioner, TaskRabbit it.
Like, an air conditioner. You're like, come on, man.
Just put that in the window.
Yeah, lift from your knees. Lift from your legs. Don't lift from your knees.
Yeah, TaskRabbit it.
Well, my sister, she lives out in Tribeca, so she's in New York. She works in finance, and she has a lot of those kinds of situations where she's like, oh, yeah, you just have to call somebody. And I'm like, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I work in the arts, so that's not going to happen. I'm the guy you call, you see.
Right.
So I learned how to do a bunch of really weird odd jobs. So TaskRabbit was fun for a while, but it comes a point where you're just kind of like, no.
Well, maybe we'll save that for the end because we do a game sometimes of first worst, best last.
Oh yeah, great.
And job is one of my favorite categories to do that. You know, your first job, your last job, your worst job, your best job.
Let's do that. That sounds like fun.
That's great. It's great stuff. But first off, I wasn't sure if you were going to be joining as you or as Chad?
Chad the bird.
The bird.
I got an email from your producer. And he was like, is it going to be you or is it going to be Chad? And I was like, well, if you want a visual, it'll have to be me because Chad is in the old apartment. And as previously stated, we're moving, which means I'd have to drive down to the old apartment to get a puppet and drive it back. So I'm like, I mean, if that's what you want, that's what I'm willing to do.
I'm picturing your old apartment just having a puppet sitting in the middle of an empty.
You're 100% right. If we were to take a picture of the living room in that old apartment, it's just Chad on a stand sitting on a desk. That's all that's in that room, which is great because it's an automatic theft deterrent. Because if you break into that and that's what you see, it's like, I don't think this is for us. That's cursed.
Yeah, this place
that's
seems,
a cursed
this
object.
Place seems cursed. Yeah, that's an Annabelle situation.
Yeah, let's I not. Want this I think there's other. In fact, we should stop robbing in general. I think we've hit our peak.
We should just task rabbit.
Task rabbit for robberies. I love that. That's a great idea. Yeah, Chad the bird. I'm assuming there needs to be some backstory there. So yeah, I do a character in Chicago, but also we're touring pretty soon, and it kind of picked up a lot of traction online, like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Mm-hmm. He has his own Discord page now. He has more followers than I do.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's a talking bird who is from Laguna Beach. So he has a really thick, he used to have a really thick California accent. I've been doing him for a while now. He kind of like drifts in and out of Chicago because he's been here long enough.
Right. He's relocated. Yeah,
I mean, he's migrated. He's migrated,
if you will. Yes. That would be the term for bird.
So yeah, I do him once a week in Chicago at a show called The Paper Machete. Which is it's like a live magazine. It is a live magazine. It's a Prairie Home Companion meets This American Life meets Daily Show. You know, we have a head editor who gives everybody a news story that week, and we have a bunch of op-eds, and he loves puppets. And that's Chris Pyatt is the name of the guy who runs it. And because of that, he wanted me to be there every week. So I've been doing that for about 12 years. So once a week, I get a news story that I need to Google, and then I have 24 hours to write a 10-minute op-ed, and then I go to the Green Mill, which is this legendary haunted gangster bar in Chicago. It was Al Capone's Bouncer's Club, and it's been there since the 30s. Okay. It's one of my favorite places. It's awesome, but it is absolutely haunted by dead gangsters. And it's the perfect room for that show because it's low lit. It's a historic lamp. It's a jazz bar. It's like a legendary jazz bar, and it feels like a jazz bar. So going in there, you've already kind of in this like, yeah, I want to drink and think, but it's all afternoon and it's a comedy show. So it gets pretty rowdy. And then, I pop up as a puppet, and he gained a lot of traction, the Chad character. And so I started doing it every week. And so, yeah, that's the that's how I keep up on the news is this show, because I have to. So it's kind of like being a journalist. It's like a journalist puppet. It's like doing Sesame Street for hipsters, day drinking in a haunted gangster bar. In fact, that is
sort of a living newspaper. Kind of.
It is. And that was Chris's goal, because he loves, you know, that kind of stuff. He's a big Ira Glass fan, too. So like has that vibe to it, which I love because it's like a happening. Like an old 60s happening, like back when all the like great beat poets used to get together and with musicians and just do a show. That's what it feels like, except comedy and news. And so I don't ever want to stop doing it. It's great. And because of that, we've been filming Chad's performances at this thing, and I've been popping them up. And that I put it on TikTok. Will, here's what happened. I started doing more stand-up before the pandemic happened as Chad, because I was like, well, I got a thing going here. I might as well try it out and see where it goes. And I did one routine right in 2021, right when we started coming back, put up maybe a minute and a half of it on TikTok. And it was one of those things where it went viral really fast. And so like all of a sudden,
instant.
It was like I had to turn my notifications off because it was like your mother texting you like somebody died. And you're like, that's all I kept thinking was, oh my God, somebody died. So I turned off my notifications for like a week. Now it's become a job, and there's a lot of streaming that we do YouTube streaming. And it was great because like I learned kind of how to do all of that during the pandemic, because like I can't do the live show. So that was a significant blow. And so then like emailing everybody and saying, hey guys, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to do what I would do, my 10-minute op-ed thing on like Facebook. And they're like, you should try Instagram. You should try YouTube. And I was like, stop telling me what to do. But I did it anyway. And then kind of got a little savvy at doing that. And then TikTok thing exploded. And then that drizzled out into all the other things. And Yeah.
Did you say you're on Twitch now?
I did Twitch for a little while. It wasn't my favorite, but I'm going to probably jump back on it. I'm doing YouTube right now. So there's a lot of... Okay. So I'll stream on TikTok. The way it'll work is if I'm doing a stream, which are usually Wednesdays and Thursdays, I'll do like an hour on TikTok beforehand to like hype up the show. And then I'll move everybody over to YouTube to watch the stream.
Yeah. Smart.
And it's been interesting because... At first, the guys that I got contacted by from Twitch, they were like, hey, you have a really popular puppet character. You should do Twitch stuff. And I was like, I don't know what that is. So we started doing it. They wanted me to play Fortnite because I don't know why. And I was like, okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense because Fortnite is a very popular game. I play Fortnite. That was a big pandemic activity that I got into, and it was a lot of fun. It's like playing tag with your friends, and I love it.
Yeah.
And they were like, you should do this on Twitch as Chad. And I was like, that is impossible. And they're like, why? I was like, because I don't know if you know this, Chad is my hand. And you need the hand to play the game. You need two of them, actually. It's a two-thumber. And so,
double thumbs.
And so they were like, oh, well, how do we do this? And so what we came up with is my buddy Brian, who's been on a bunch of streams with me, comes over and he's going to play Fortnite. And then I take the little cam and set it up so that it's positioned so that you just see Chad. And I built him a little controller. So he's like furiously doing this while Brian's playing Fortnite. And that was fun for about 3 weeks. And then I was like, all right. Yeah. And so he was like, but I gained a little following from that. And I was like, well, what can I game with one hand? And it was like instant, my 90s savvy teenage self came back and was like, you played a lot of CD-ROM games back in the day. You had asthma. Mm-hmm. There, you weren't out. You were in. So you know how to do this. Yeah. So I went on Steam and found every 90s CD-ROM game that I could think of. All the King's Quest games, all the Space Quest games, all the LucasArts games. And so it's great because it's point and click. And so... Once a week, I'm usually like my elbows propped up here with a little camera, and then my other hand is just like working its way through like full throttle or something like that. We played Myst once. That was fun. And
oh my God,
that's become the thing. So it's like I'm either showing off what I did that week on TikTok, which I do once a week, I'll pop a minute and a half of what we did that week at the Green Mill. Yeah. And then on sometimes it's like Wednesdays and Thursdays, I'll be, live on YouTube streaming a game. Sometimes we do like old PSAs or safety videos or like cartoons that never aired, that kind of stuff. Just MST3K-ing the thing. And when it works, it's great.
Yeah.
When I realize just how low tech and new at this I am, it's awful. Cause like this setup right now, this is the most high tech I've been so far. Once we moved into this new apartment, I was like, oh wow, we have fiber. I can go, I can do all kinds of stuff with it. And built a little desk to have the mic here and the camera there. And but like back when it was ham radio, cords hanging, duct taped to the ceiling. I'm in a tank top because it's 1,000 degrees in my apartment, and I've got this little puppet on my hand. I'm just like, hey guys, we're fucking, oh, cool, we're playing this. Oh man, if people walked in, anyone could see me through that window, was like, this man is on a list and absolutely participated in January 6th. So big fun there.
And he's hit rock bottom.
It did not work out. As it should.
No, there's a steep learning curve for, you know, for a lot of those platforms too. Twitch in particular is one that, you know, once you get into the OBS and there's just so many bells and whistles that you can add to that, to those streams that, you know, and it's amazing to watch somebody who's a pro at it, you know, operate. It's just like, how are you?
Teach me.
You're playing the game, like, and you're
20 years younger than you, and you're just kind of like, well, we're good, so we can just go to the sea. We'll just walk into the sea and let you guys run the planet, because I'm in the way at this point.
Yeah,
please.
I'm just gonna lay down and just never get back
up. I'm good. You've nailed it. Way well done. You're playing some classic Zeppelin. You're playing.
I can't set up a freaking nest.
No, my nest took me two hours. It's the size of a coffee mug, and it took me 2 hours just to tell it what to do. And this 25-year-old is like, hey, man, I'm going to set up a Discord for you. Hang on a second. I'm like, what are you, a robot? And he's like, nah, man, I'm in Portland.
He's like, you sound hungry.
You don't know me.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind. So you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Where are you at in the world, Will?
I'm in Los Angeles.
LA.
And I'm also an actor and, performer, mm-hmm. director.
Oh, I Googled you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Googler.
But so this show is the first in-house production of the company Collab, which is a company that I started with my two brothers back in 2012. But we started as digital content creators ourselves, making online sketch comedy videos, animation, all sorts of stuff like that.
Super fun.
And we were barely keeping the lights on, barely scraping by. Even though we were like a preferred Google partner where Google would send their premium channels to come shoot at our studio, we were kind of like the YouTube space before they built the YouTube space.
Nice.
And we would have like Deepak Chopra coming in once a week and doing YouTube videos, and I'd be like running teleprompter for him and like just putting it on the slowest setting possible as it crawled by.
No, this is Deepak Chopra's setting. It's
a personal
negative
setting.
10
it's somehow
one
going
word
backwards.
At a time.
We are all God in drag.
Slow it down.
So if he's going too fast.
He's overheating.
Too fast.
And again, I've only really like, cause I've been doing the Chad the Bird character live mm-hmm. for things. And I mean, we work with some, cause like the show is pretty well known just in like the comedy circle. Cause like a lot of the standups want to do it cause they all want to play the Green Mill. And that kind of put us into a bigger talent bracket. Like Garofalo's done it a bunch. Mark Maron's done it a couple of, I mean like name drop. But like a bunch of names have come through. I mean, you name drop Deepak Chopra. I want to jump in for just a second.
who expected that?
No one. Zero people. We had Roz from Night Court come by once. That was cool.
Cool. Very cool.
But yeah, we have. It's a lot of, and there. It's always fun. The room is always great, and it's always like Chris Redd was one of his first shows. Was our show.
Very cool.
Rami Yosef has done it a bunch. Anyway. But because of that, like I was like, well, why would I want to do any other room? What's the point? This is the room, we have about 200 people a week here. And then everything shut down. And it was like, well, now you got to come up with something different. And then because of that, TikTok happens, TikTok goes viral. And now all of those cats are all like, oh, yeah, are you still doing this? I'm like, oh yeah, haven't stopped. Do you want to give me a bump? Because that'd be nice. And so like, it's been an interesting, like, because now we're doing it live again. And then it's all kind of slowly coming together in a lovely, lovely cyclical kind of way, which is nice. Because it's one of those things where like, you've been priming the pump. And you're like, when is this going to strike? Should I stop?
Right.
And you always think about that when you've got a felt sock on your hand once a week.
Should I quit?
Is this it?
Should I keep doing this?
Luckily, I drink for free at the Green Mill. So there's not a lot of times where I really have to think about it. And I feel like that's the reason why they're like, well, you don't have to pay for drinks. We don't want you to think about what you've been doing for a decade. Yeah. And change.
Just keep him boozed up.
And he'll just keep showing. I'll do the puppet. Sure. Cool. Fine.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it.
Are you
another round?
Do you think about your future? Nah, you don't want to do that. That's a terrible idea. Don't look back. And then like now it's content creation. Now it's like building. And now the next step is tour. So we're going to tour in 2023. We have a bunch of venues that we're going to hit up. We're going to see what we can do. We're going to fundraise a little bit. And then I'm going to take a road trip for a few months and do it around the area. We'll be in California for sure, but probably at the end of the tour. Cause the whole thing about Chad is that Chad's from Laguna Beach. Cause I used to live in Los Angeles and I lived in Culver. Mm-hmm. Well, I lived in Culver City. Nobody lives in LA. You don't live in LA.
I know it quite well. I was a part of the Actors Gang Theater, which is,
I lived right where that In-N-Out is. And the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
Technology. Yeah.
I lived right.
It's only open on like Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I thought it was a set because that's the thing. I'm from Iowa originally. So like Iowa, Boston, L.A. because everybody's like, don't go to L.A., don't go to L.A. And I was like, no one can actually tell you why you don't want to go to L.A. It's just like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. So I was like, I'm in the arts. I got to go figure this out. So I go there. I liked L.A. a lot. But like so everywhere you went in LA was it's a movie set. Like you recognize it. So like you're trying to have a conversation with someone. You're like, I'm sorry.
This is in a Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. is that from T2? Is that the tunnel from T2? Where they're like, yes, that's what that is.
This, I think where we're standing was in a Kesha music video.
And actually she's right over there.
There she is.
Oh, hi. Hey, Kesha. Our building, we were on Robertson and National. So we were like right off the 10 and our backyard is the old Fox. Well, I guess it's still the Fox Studio building, but Fox Studios isn't there anymore. It's Nakatomi Plaza from Die Hard.
Yeah. I used to live in Century City right on the other side of Nakatomi Plaza. And then I also used to live in Palms right by like Boardwalk 11 and the karaoke bar there.
So like that, and you know, having never been to Los Angeles, that was like every night we would just sit on the balcony and just watch the helicopters circle Nakatomi Plaza. And I'm like, oh, I now understand every 80s action movie. It's just, that's what was there. We'll just shoot.
It's
that.
Also where all of our taxpayer dollars are going to those circling police choppers.
Police choppers, which, look, I live in Chicago. I've seen some things, but I have never experienced anything as exciting as watching a helicopter pull someone over on the highway. And it is an event. Like you see that going down, if you see that searchlight skitting by you, like pull over and watch that go down. Because it is wild.
Yeah, you're paying for
it. Yeah, I mean, you might as well.
It's an expensive way to police a city.
Being on the beach, like, because we would walk down, because, you know, again, Midwesterners, so we walk everywhere, which I think is hilarious because it's 68, 78 degrees every single day in LA and no one walks anywhere. Meanwhile, Chicago, it's negative, screw you out, and people are just like, I got to go to the store. You guys want to go? Hey, we'll just keep going. We'll walk to work.
Yeah.
Seven layers later. But like, yeah, we would walk down to Venice Beach and people were like, why are you guys walking? And we're like, because it's 78 degrees. Why aren't you? What? And then we realized, because there are no sidewalks that go the direction you want to go. So we were like,
have you ever seen LA Story? Steve Martin.
Yeah. It's a perfect.
I think the most quintessential 100%. Spot on scene is that he walks out the front door, gets in his car, drives to his neighbor's house, one door down.
Anybody that asks, like, what was LA like? I'm like, there's only one movie, and it's LA Story by Steve Martin. That's exactly what it's like. It's not a joke. That's just how it is.
Still stands up. I watched it maybe a year ago, and I was like, yep, a lot of this still hits.
That's still pretty true. The whole, when everybody's ordering decaf cappuccinos, I'm like, it would take an hour to order.
I forgot about the road rage scene where he's like, oh, it's open season on the 405. And everybody pulls out a gun and just starts shooting at each other on the freeway.
See, what's funny about that is that I'm like, that's more Chicago now.
Right.
But not as bad as.
But I guess there was a time.
There was a time.
There was a time in LA where everyone was just like shooting at each other.
I've seen people throwing because in Chicago, if you get off of the wrong neighborhood, you can easily find yourself, know where you need to go. And it really isn't that bad. Chicago's what, the ninth safest city in the world, in the country right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of, and I'm really only saying this for the podcast so that people can stop saying it, because like we're getting a little tired of it, because Fox News and the Trump universe has decided that in the multiverse of the world where this Trumpverse exists, that Chicago is this hellscape where it's just everybody's shooting everybody. Everybody's parents are setting their kids on fire. You can't drive anywhere.
It's black on black crime. And it's like, don't say that. It's
also what? And so, no, that's not what it's like in Chicago. But we are going to continue saying it, because anyone who believes it, we don't want you here anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, oh, it's a hellscape, man. I can't even go outside. Yeah. It's awful. I never, whenever you get lost in Chicago, you can find your way back. LA, before GPS, I can't even imagine what that would have been like for me. It's my,
I grew up here, and I had a freaking Thomas guide in my car, and you'd have to be like, okay, you got to get on the, we're going to take the one to the 10,
to the 105, to the 110,
101, to the 105, to the,
we're on the 605. There's a 605. It's been here the whole time. It's over the 405. I've never looked up.
All I know is where the 10, the 210, and the 5 meet in San Dimas, man.
It's true. Having been to San Dimas many times. So because I'm from Iowa and I'm an idiot, I was like, oh, fucking gotta go to Laguna Beach. I gotta check out, San Dimas. I gotta go see where Bill and Ted was, and none of it was filmed there. So whatever. Right. So I was like, oh, this is it? Okay, cool. I mean, there's a counter there, I think. I don't remember. Maybe there was a counter there. Maybe there was an Astro Burger. I don't remember. So I went to Laguna Beach, and I had friends that were from Laguna Beach. And like just talking to them, that's where the Chad character came from, was me making fun of like Alex Winter doing San Dimas teenager mixed with Laguna Beach teenagers that I know that. Because, they all sort of sound like this. Like it's not like a real accent, because nobody really... Yeah. Sounds like that. They just do this. I don't know why. Because
have you seen those two guys who go to city council meetings?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, we're super bummed that.
That's where the Chad character came from. Because so when Chris was like, hey, I want you to do this Chad thing once a week, I started thinking about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I still think is one of the finest movies ever made. And I'll stand by. I love the trilogy. Like, all of it is great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the first one is one of those movies where if you go back and rewatch and just take it in, it's brilliant. Yeah. And it's...
Oh, my God.
So, it's the funniest part in that movie, sidebar, I think. The funniest part in that movie is when they land... This is how good this movie is, Will. They land their time machine in the back of Bill's new mom's play. She's doing yard work, and all the historical figures come out, and they have to pretend that they aren't who they are, like as if she would know or believe them. And the way they do it is just casually like make up names. They're like, this is Herman the Kid, Bob Genghis Khan, Socrates Johnson. And it's so good, because I'm like that Matt Herman the Kid. Like, oh, it's Herman the Kid. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
And then you've
also got George Carlin, who's just like the great, greatest comedians of all time, just playing a straight man.
Yeah.
Time traveler named Rufus.
Rufus. Oh yeah. What does Rufus do? He doesn't do much, but he just makes sure that they remember what they. He basically just reminds them what they're doing. Like he's their RA. that just shows up. It's like, hey, guys, you don't want to do that. Anyway, back to class.
Yeah. Here's your time machine. Yeah. Have fun.
And then, so Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves doing their presentation at the end of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is every Green Mill Chad the Bird piece. Because I'm like, oh, just do Bill and Ted trying to do a history report about whatever the news story is. So it's a lot of Chad being like, yeah, okay, so a lot of people are going to tell you that, you know, that the fact that it's 110 in Texas is normal. Turns out that's bogus. It's not normal. And here's why. And so that's like every week.
I got to send you, I just recently wrote a sketch that is Bill and Ted and Thomas Jefferson.
Excellent.
And they're basically like, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, the Constitution recently and like, what is constitutional? So we thought, why not bring one of the founding fathers who wrote the thing to find out what his take is on the matters at hand.
And he's just and horribly of course, Thomas racist Jefferson is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just like, you, ma'am, like, why are your shoulders exposed? And like, where's your chaperone? You know?
Why is your slave telling you what to do? Like, he's exactly. My boss.
No, at one part, they're like, just so you know, slavery was abolished in 1865 before you say anything like horribly racist. And Thomas Jefferson's like, great, great, cool, good to know.
Good,
thank
hey,
you
cool. No, I love it. I want
very happy. I want very happy for them.
That's great. Yeah, that's like the whole Chad thing is that it's like a little mix of like a 90s surfer stoner. Because that was like the ultimate intelligence level when we were in high school. Mm-hmm. Was like these guys understood time travel because they were so not interested in everything else that they could wrap their minds around this impossible concept. Like these, they not only did they get it, they rocked it. And in the end, they graduated.
Once they started getting into like, oh, we got to put this thing here later. That shit was like.
Excellent. Excellent. All so three of those movies are fantastic. When the third one came out.
Face the Music.
I cried. I still cry at the end of that movie. When they asked their dads to come on stage. And they rock out. And I was like, one last ride of the Wild Stallions. This is such a specific thing going on that a very specific generation of Americans will understand. Because Bill and Ted was a phenomenon when that came out. Yeah. It was supposed to, it's just like Ace Ventura and all that stuff. They were supposed to just be stupid, one-off stoner comedies. Bill and Ted changed the lexicon. Like, like how we spoke shifted. When that movie came out, I just don't think kids today will understand. They won't. Why would they? But like, also, why does it matter? It's totally different now. But like,
station.
And like, and then Willie Sadler is Death as like this is the greatest cameo of all time is him as Death, and then him showing up and Face the Music is legendary. I think.
Fantastic. And and then also NoHo Hank.
NoHo Hank as Barry, robot.
As
that stole the movie. So good. Oh God. Oh my God. Like the scene like when they because like spoiler alert for those of you who have not seen Face the Music, like, come on, guys, seriously. When they accidentally kill a bunch of people in one scene. And I was sitting there, I was like, oh damn, they just killed a bunch of guys. And I was like, ah, wait. That's right. They know
time
Death.
Travel.
Death was in the band.
And Death. That's also right. Time travel.
I remember
they can
now.
Fix that.
They can fix that. Wrap it up. Like, that's right. And I just remember sitting there in my apartment because we were on a Zoom call, a bunch of us watching that movie together. And we were all just like, they on the little screens were all just like, and I was like, guys, nah, it's cool. Death used to be in their band. And then you realize
their
bass
player.
He used to, don't you remember? He played bass.
Stand up bass
and had his own solo career if you remember from the credits from Bogus Journey. And then I was like, how much of this series is ingrained in my mind? I did a whole retrospective with Chad on the history of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure for a YouTube video during the pandemic, and it was the most fun I've had doing any of this. It was like, that's when I learned that Jane Wheatland from the Go-Go's is Joan of Arc in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the woman who wrote Vacation. I think that's right. It's Vacation. She wore, it was either Vacation. I think it's Vacation. I could Google it, but you can as well. But yeah,
right.
Weiland wrote, she, you know, from the Go-Go's, lead singer and a guitarist, I think, too. But like, she's not just Joan of Arc. She's also the singing telegram girl from Clue.
Oh my God.
And that was like,
I literally just watched Clue.
Yeah.
5 days ago.
Excellent.
And because I'm directing it
at
Culver City High School.
Yay.
It's all coming together.
It's all connected. So, we never leave.
So
LA.
I was just watching that movie. That very quick cameo of the singing telegrammer who gets instantly shot.
I'm
like, I feel bad for whatever high school kid gets cast in this role.
Listen, it's the easiest role. Seconds. You just have to tap dance briefly.
Yeah.
But know that one of the members of the Go-Go's was that character and was Joan of Arc. And then I went on this deep dive into like,
wow,
who played the little finger wizard moments whenever they would do their little diddly diddly dees, because three separate guys did it and they're all from different like metal bands. But in Face the Music, it's Tosin Abasi from Animals as Leaders is the guitarist that every time they do their little weedly wee, it's him. And I was like, that, he's a legend. Like, he is top tier. He's probably the best guitar player in the world right now. And you call this guy up, is like, hey, do you want to do like a little burn? He's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, man.
For Bill and Ted. Yes. Yeah. Man.
Well, that's
anything.
And that comes down to like the Weird Al thing, where it's like you get all these legendary performers that anyone would do anything for. And then there's people like Weird Al. And then there's novelty acts like Bill and Ted that anyone would do this for free.
Yeah, would just bend over
just to be a part of
it. Yeah.
And I think that's the true history of like American pop culture. It's like, yeah, but like Dr. Demento and like how many big like platinum recording artists would do anything to be on a Weird Al album, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind. So you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
I just watched Bullet Train.
Oh yeah.
And it kind of suffers from that mentality of like people, just anyone will be in this Brad Pitt led movie, but it's not that good.
Yeah.
Like the script swing, there's a bunch of swing and miss jokes, just like big old whiffs in it. And it's like, guys should have spent a little more time on.
Well,
like,
I also think that that's what happens when you do high profile people like that, is that it stops being funny. Cause you're like, well, but you're Brad Pitt though. Like, it's funny when you're a cameo and you show up and you're like, oh, Brad Pitt's here. Ah, he's great.
Brad Pitt. Hello, and he's Brad like, Pitt. My dad's a weatherman.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's why you're so handsome. God, that was so, yeah,
fine.
So fun.
Great. Get in there. Like, him showing up in like all of the, cause like those of us who grew up with Brad Pitt, obviously, like, we remember him from like 12.
On the same block.
From yeah, man. He's just Brad from the block, man.
Yeah, dude.
Just hanging out.
Just play stickball together.
We used to get taquitos at 7-Eleven with him and just hang out, man. He was crazy talking about the dream.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he, because he was like, it was like 12 Monkeys. Like he started out as a character actor and then became like a heartthrob. And it's weird to go the reverse now because you're like, no, you're too pretty. Don't stop it. Come on. I tried.
I just like how I just always notice now when he's eating, and because every scene he's eating, that's like his go-to acting move in any role is like, can I just be eating an apple in this scene? Like,
because
the amount of scenes where Brad Pitt is eating an apple is, you know.
Because I'm hungry. That's smart.
That's just like, that's my character choice. Like, I'm always snacking.
Brad, do you like just want to get lunch? No. We got to work. Yeah. We got to go. We got to wrap it up.
No, we keep going.
Keep going. Yeah. I went to, so.
I feel like this guy is like a sunflower seed guy, you know? So like, he's just always got a handful of sunflower
seeds. Sure. Okay. Brad, he's a sunflower. He's good at what he does. Yeah. I just think that when you get those kinds of comedies, with the exception of like Clue, because we were talking about Clue, where you have a bunch of big name stars in this movie, which I guess, I mean, they were big then too. So it wasn't like, they weren't character actors. I mean, maybe Christopher Lloyd and Michael McKean, but like all the women in that movie are
Bernadette Peters, Flames.
No, Madeline Kahn.
Fire. What was that?
Madeline Kahn.
Was she? She's Miss White. She's just that one moment. Flames.
It's classic.
Fire. Flames on the side of my face.
she does these little things in the movie. So my dad went to school with Madeline Kahn, so she's kind of like a legend in our family. Like we, because like Blazing Saddles, all that kind of stuff. Also, she's a legend in the world. I don't know if you've heard of her. Anyway, this, I don't know why that was a flex.
I confuse her with Bernadette Peters.
But like her,
what an idiot.
She does these little moments in that movie where she'll like, her breath stops in her chest. Like she'll try to say something. She just kind of go, ah, and it kills me every time. Cause I'm like, yeah, same on a daily basis. But like those kinds of like movies, like Clue, Knives Out is a good example of like bringing A-list actors in and making it funny and still like you can get past the fact that all of these people are famous. But it's a tricky tightrope. I think the only other one that I can think of right now that I really liked was Get Shorty, because you know you had Travolta, you had Hackman, you had Rene Russo, you had Delroy Lindo, you had James Gandolfini in that movie, and DeVito as DeVito, and give it to me on a. I love that's my second favorite movie of all time. But like Bullet Train didn't let them be characters. They just were them.
Yeah. It was just Channing Tatum sitting on a train.
Right. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty. Sure. There's a lot of money behind it. But I always get wary when those things happen where it's like big name director, big name actors, comedy. I'm like, this isn't going to be funny.
Yeah. It was, but man, it was like a B minus where it was like, there's some really fun parts in here. I don't know. Michael Shannon too. I mean, I guess that's kind of a spoiler, but Michael Shannon showing up in a wig.
Yeah.
Just Michael Shannon in a wig and a Russian accent.
I mean, hometown pride, you know, cause, he still lives here. He's still around all the time. He shows up all kinds of wild places. It's funny. Cause he's like, kind of like a Sasquatch in Chicago where everyone's got a Michael Shannon sighting story where they're like,
he's just always blurry.
Yeah. He's moving too fast. But yeah, that's the thing. Like in Chicago, the few of us that actually get like a national platform, everybody sees around all the time. And I think it's on purpose. I think Michael Shannon's just like walking around being like, oh, I just want to remind you all whose turf you're on. This is Shannon Town.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of big eyed stare downs. And you're like, well, I'm not going to fight you, man. You're tall. He's really tall too.
And intense.
He's very intense.
I remember one of my favorite things he's ever done is he did a dramatic reading of that sorority letter.
Yeah, it's excellent.
If anybody who's listening who hasn't seen that, please
just
go
Google
watch
Michael
it.
Shannon sorority girl, and you're welcome. But yeah.
Well, Josh, we only have a few minutes left.
Boo.
We didn't even really get into a story, but I mean, many stories were told. But
it was a sampler. It was like a flight.
Yeah, it was kind of a sizzler.
Yeah, it's a tapas. We had story tapas for this episode. Totally out of format.
If there is a tight you know, a tight story that you have that you want to throw down. I'd love to get a little story time in there.
So as previously mentioned, I went to school in Boston. Right. I'm from Iowa. I don't really know any better. I had my first like real drink in college, you know, never touched anything mm-hmm. until then.
Late bloomer.
And then went ham and don't remember freshman year at all. I don't recommend that path. I say start when you're ready. I just was like, well, I should probably do this because I'm really uptight. And then woke up and, you know, suddenly I'm like bisexual and I'm like, oh, I had no idea. Oh, this is awesome. What a great weekend.
I tried black tar heroin.
And I'm in a polyamorous relationship now. This is such a good time. But like college was wild. But the one story I do really actually remember from college, and I can tell you this because I thought this would be kind of fun to give you a little adventure story that would actually make a very good comedy with a bunch of A-list actors. So my buddy Sam, who builds cars, that was his thing because he's from like northern Massachusetts area. So he's from Groton, which is famous for car lots and serial killers. So he builds cars, and I to me that's just fascinating because I don't know anything about cars. So we went out to a car yard and found an old 1986 Chevrolet station wagon. And we fix it up, kind of. Three brakes worked, so you could change lanes by hitting the brakes, and it would swing its ass into the oncoming traffic.
This is all coming from the guy who can't set up the Nest.
Oh, yeah. No, it all checks out. I didn't do anything. I just held screwdrivers and smoked.
Yeah, so, and drank beer.
And drank a lot. So now we're going to drive to my parents' place in Iowa, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. We're going to drive from Boston to Iowa. It's going to be the great American road trip, you know, in the middle of school. This is the kind of guy that, like, you'd be in the middle of class and I get a text message, which we did have. We didn't have smartphones yet, but we did have text messages. And I get a text message, like, look out the window. And I look out the window of class, and he'd be in the parking lot in a suit with an Audi. Just like, hey, I'm test driving this. You want to go? And I'm like, I'm in class. And he's like, I know. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So, you know, I haven't.
So he's got some Ferris Bueller vibes.
He was a living Ferris Bueller. So we ended up building this car. We decided to chrome the whole thing because we were insane. And we soldered a Porsche 911 spoiler on the roof. So it looked like.
Cool.
In our minds, we were like, we'll call it the Moon Doggy. It's a space car. To anyone else, it's the Homer car from the Simpsons episode. And it just looked like a nightmare. And so we drove this 1986 Frankenstein monster car with three brakes that worked from Boston to Des Moines twice. And on the way there the first time, we decided because we were high that we were going to check out Niagara Falls because I've never been to Niagara Falls. I want to check it out. So I fall asleep in the back, which we turned into like a little lounge couch, like no seatbelts. It was just like throw pillows and couch. And, you know, and the radio didn't work. We had to have a CD player with us. So every time we hit a bump, it would skip. greatest road trip ever. So here we are driving through the thing. Meanwhile, any car coming from the oncoming lane was like swerving because it was chrome. So if it was in the middle of the day, it's just this blinding comet coming at you, like just like a mirrored sunglass just coming right at your face.
Just a disco ball.
Yeah, and you could hear it coming too, because as I said, three brakes work. So it was just like, and you're blind, and you just stop. So like we got there in record time because everyone pulled over. So there, I'm passed out in backseat. I wake up, guns. Just guns all over us. People in SWAT gear, AKs, all kinds of things. And I'm in a Baja and hemp shorts and Birkenstock sandals and blue hair and mutton chops. Reeking. Right, just reeking. And I get out of the car and I'm like, this is where I die. And so Sam and I are like, ugh. So then they bring us, they search the car. They're like, we're going to search the car. And we were like, please don't. We just built it. It's held together with duct tape. And they're like, yeah, we're going to take it apart. And we were like, well, maybe they'll put it back together better than we did. So they take us into the police station. And I remember, so the cops like points at me and he's like, come with me. Again, we don't know where we are. I wake up, two guns. So cop brings me into the back. Full on body cavity search. So I have an officer getting to know me really well at 9 o'clock in the morning. And you leave and Sam's sitting in the lobby and I'm like, it's your turn. He's like, why? I'm like, ha, you'll see. So then now all of that excitement's over. We're sitting in the office of what we assume is the police chief. And he's just like, we found a bunch of pot. Not much, but, you know, a bunch. You guys know it's illegal to bring pot into Canada, right? And we both said, we're in Canada? And you could just see the police chief just like, you fucking idiots. He's just like, I think we're going to let you go with a warning because you don't know where you are and you're too stupid to be drug smugglers. And we're like, absolutely, total idiots here. Have you seen the car we drove here in? And so I was banned from Canada for 2 years for this thing.
I keep thinking about stay out of my beach community.
It's 100%. So as we're leaving, Sam had a bunch of CDs in the car. He was like, none of us spoke because like the weed has worn off. Our weed was now confiscated. We had just been fingered and left for dead in Canada. We're driving back to the States. Total silence. Sam's like rummaging through the CD booklet. For those of you who are from, you know, nowadays, that's a book of CDs. Look it up. He finds one, puts it in
case logic.
Yeah. Case logic. Oh, man. So, yeah, puts it in the CD player, closes it. We get to the border. The border guy just goes, you know, do you have a good time in Canada? And I swear this is 100% true. Sam looks him in the eye and just hits play. And it's Born in the USA. And he just flipped off the border guard and drove away. And I was like, impressive, Sam. But maybe we don't piss off the border security. So anyway, now we're into it. Now we're back in America. We're driving back to Iowa. It's late. We're high. We're tired. We're swagged over. And we're in Illinois and we get pulled over by the state police for driving too fast or whatever they said. They were like, you guys know how fast we were going? And Sam and I were like, probably, I don't know. And they were
the speedometer. We just installed
it's basically, it's a post-it note. It doesn't really do anything. So cops, we were just like tired. We were just like, yes, fine, whatever. They're like, do we have to search the vehicle? And Sam was like, not really. And he's like, well, I'm not going to find
anything.
He goes like, I'm not going to find anything in there, am I? And Sam looks him in the eye and goes, shit, no, man, the Canadians took it all. And then the cop, eyes big, goes, what? And he's like, yeah, man, we got arrested in Canada for trying to fucking smoke on the border. And the cop was like, hang on one second. Goes back to the squad car. Another cop comes over and he's just like, hey, you guys got a minute? And it's like 2 a.m. on the highway. And we're like, yeah, we're cool. And he's like, so we just stole these cigars from the mayor's office. And this is Illinois. And he's like, do you smoke a cigar? And we're like, yeah. So now these two state troopers are sitting on the hood. That's what I'm thinking. Smoking cigars, literally just like, hey, man, tell us the story about the drugs and the Canadians. And it was then that I realized that that is my best story. And out of all the things in my life I've been through, this story got us free cigars on the highway from state troopers at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so, that's the end of the movie, is us sitting on the roof of this, on the hood of this state trooper car with these two cops talking about Canada. And that was the last time I ever drove from Boston to Des Moines.
It could also be the start of the movie.
Oh, I love that. Time travel, you know, though. It's going to have time. Yeah. We're going to meet ourselves from the future in it. So, yeah, that's my best story because it's proven, because it's good enough to not just get out of a speeding ticket, but to get free cigars from state troopers in Illinois only.
This movie would be better than Bullet Train. I'll say that. But I don't know if it would be as good as Bill and Ted.
No, it's too dark for better than Bullet Train. No, Bill and Ted is adorable. It's candy. This has got some real world implications about privileged youth crossing borders with no consents. But I would see Brad Pitt in it. He'd be the Canadian chief of police, though.
Mountie.
Yeah, that's his cameo. But if I were to pick somebody to play me in the movie, it'd be, what's his name? Eddie Munson from Stranger Things.
From Stranger Things. Good choice.
100%. And then for Sam, Kyle MacLachlan. But he has to play a college student. He has to play 22.
I would, if I was in it, I would pick Gaten Matarazzo from Stranger Things.
Also great. Oh, man. Him and Finn Wolfhard? 100%. All in on that.
What a good buddy. Good buddy story.
It is good. We were friends after that. That is one of the things that I thought was wild about being arrested in Canada, is that the Canadian police are very polite to you, as opposed to like Boston, Chicago, any of these cities I lived in where they're just like ready to just beat you down because they're tired and they can. Right. In Canada, they were just like, oh, as long as you guys are still friends. I remember as we were leaving, the chief of police was just like, yeah, as long as you guys are still friends, I'd say that's a win-win. And Sam and I are like, oh, my God, Canada, give it a break. Jeez, give me a break.
If you could bend over. Sorry about
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to gently place my two index fingers inside your rectum.
Didn't mean to probe your prostate there, but, you know, it's my job.
Sorry about that.
Just hey, and FYI, my dad's a proctologist. You're doing pretty good. All good in there. Yeah. Didn't find anything. Thanks, guys. You guys want some cheese curds on your way out? That's Wisconsin, but still would get that. Wouldn't say no to it.
Some poutine.
So, oh, there you go. I'll take some. You guys want some poutine and poppers on my way out of getting arrested in Canada?
The guy who does the cavity searches, him offering poutine immediately afterwards.
It's a good joke, right? It's a hilarious joke, man. So good. Savvy, bud. Savvy. Which is why Letterkenny is still my favorite show, because I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's...
This thing's writing itself.
That's how it is, man. This movie, Jared Kiso's going to be in it. Done. It's going to be next level.
All right. Well, hopefully, if there is a movie producer listening...
Hit me up. You know. I'm all in on selling that story. You will not hurt my feelings. I will take my cut and run.
I would like a story credit, story by credit.
Well, we're gonna co-write this.
Okay,
because
Fuck yeah.
I don't want to go with that one alone. I'll get too into it. I'll Shyamalan it. I'll be too into my own thing. I won't listen to anybody, and it'll go off the rails. No, I need an editor
the whole time. What the fuck?
I need an editor in the room going, "Hey man, maybe stop smoking pot while you're writing. Hey man, don't tell me what to do." Trevor,
fuck you.
Kick your ass.
Well, Josh, that's all the time we got, but thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
This was such a delightful hour hanging out with
It's always a pleasure, man. Always here to talk for too long.
Well, that about does it for this week's episode of Hashtag Storytime. Thanks again to Josh for hopping on the pod. Make sure to head down to the description for those sweet, sweet links. Take a second to hit subscribe if you haven't yet so you don't miss next week's episode. We have a tasty one coming at you from Corbett Pasco.
And this tiny woman just leans into the button and goes, and please know I am not exaggerating this voice, because this is what the entire train heard. At last, Christ is dead and Satan can rule.
Oh my God.
Give us a call at the Storytime Hotline, 323-741-1873, and tell us your story to be featured on an upcoming Listener Tales episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a review. It helps us out a lot, and I literally read every single one of them. No lie. Hashtag Storytime is produced by iHeartRadio and Curativity Productions, hosted by Will McFadden. Sound design by Tony Maddox. Written by Will McFadden and Jason Shapiro. Produced by Jason Shapiro and Daniela Mora. Theme song by Scott Simons.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind. So you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.